fact that special revelation is needed on top of the revelation in nature for men to be saved. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul explains to Timothy why it is that the Bible alone is sufficient. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you for the remarkable way that you have revealed yourself to all people through creation. We thank you, Lord, that creation cannot be hidden, and creation declares your glory. It is the work of your fingers. It is the formulation of your hands. It came into being because you willed it, and it speaks of you. It speaks of your glory and power. It speaks of your color and beauty. It speaks of your genius. It speaks of your infinitely magnificent mind. Lord, we worship you because of all that we learn about you in creation. But we recognize that the ministry of creation, the message of creation, the revelation of creation is not sufficient for us. For our hearts are dull and our minds are slow. And our souls are wrapped up in nature's night. We are shrouded and veiled and cannot see you. We thank you therefore that you have done even more than reveal yourself through creation. You have revealed yourself in and through your only begotten Son. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came to show us who you are. And we thank you that we have not only the knowledge of his person, but the account of his revelation. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that for this revelation, which is so special, special because it speaks to us what nature cannot speak, and special because it speaks to us personally and individually. By the power of the Spirit, this word changes us and saves us. Oh, how we thank you for the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that through these Scriptures we can be made wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would teach us this very day why your word is so important and valuable. Lord, perhaps we understand much already of the necessity of your word, but we pray through our study today that our understanding of its necessity may be confirmed and developed and deepened, that we may know why we must have your word. And Lord, we pray that as we meditate upon the reason why we need your word, we pray that we would be motivated not only to live by this word, but to proclaim this word as the only way for men and women to be saved. We recognize that it has been the temptation laid before your people throughout the centuries to stop preaching your word. Lord, we pray that as we study the necessity of Scripture, we may be motivated all the more to speak your word, knowing that your word alone has the power to save sinners. Lord, help us then, we pray. Send your Holy Spirit. May our minds be molded according to his mind. And Lord, may all we do be done and said in the name, for the sake, and for the glory of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Although the light of nature and God's works of creation and providence give such clear testimony to his goodness, wisdom and power that men who spurn them are left inexcusable, yet they are not sufficient of themselves to give that knowledge of God and his will which is necessary for salvation. In consequence, the merciful Lord, from time to time and in a variety of ways, has revealed himself and made known his will to the church. And furthermore, in order to ensure the preservation and propagation of the truth and the establishment and comfort of the church against the corrupt nature of man and the malice of Satan and the world, he caused this revelation of himself and his will to be written down in all its fullness. And as the manner in which God formerly revealed his will has long ceased, the Holy Scripture becomes absolutely essential to men. And that last phrase really summarizes the message of this first paragraph: the absolute necessity of Scripture. Why is Scripture absolutely necessary? Well, because, as we read, it is the all-sufficient, certain and infallible rule or standard of the knowledge, faith and obedience that constitute salvation. Or to put it even more briefly, Holy Scripture is necessary because by it alone can a man be saved. We need the Bible because there is no other way for us to be saved. Paul said to Timothy, as we read earlier, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Holy Scriptures and nothing else. Now, why? Why is that so? It's easy for us to state it. We all believe it. We all believe that we absolutely must have the Bible if we are going to be saved. But why? Why do we need God to speak in words? Why do we need those words to be written down? Well, there are three reasons given to us here in the first paragraph of the confession. Reason number one: we need special revelation because general revelation is not sufficient. We need special revelation because general revelation is not sufficient. Let's read again the second and third sentences. Although the light of nature and God's works of creation and providence give such clear testimony to his goodness, wisdom and power that men who spurn them are left inexcusable, yet they, that is, the testimony of nature, are not sufficient of themselves to give that knowledge of God and his will which is necessary for salvation. In consequence, the merciful Lord from time to time and in a variety of ways has revealed himself and made known his will to the church. Now, it's clear that nature does have a voice. We've already sung about that and thought about that. Nature speaks about the character of God. It says specifically here, it speaks about his goodness, wisdom and power. In Psalm 19, perhaps the clearest statement of this in the entire Bible, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Creation speaks to everybody. Creation speaks of the power and the wisdom and the goodness of God. Creation has a voice. Paul reminds the Romans of this in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. What may be known of God is manifest, is made clear, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All men who say there is no God, all men who live in ignorance of God are without excuse because nature speaks of the being and the character of God. But that revelation is not enough for salvation. Looking at creation alone is not enough for salvation. I remember chatting with a lady in the town here who's a believer, and we were talking about the Lord's Day and about attendance at church, about the importance of the ministry of the word. And she was saying, well, sometimes, you know, I don't go to church on Sunday. I just head out into the mountains and the hills and I commune with God in nature. Well, that's fine. You can do that. But to say that I will set aside the ministry of the word because I can get just as much, if not more, from the ministry of nature is a denial of the scripture. The scripture teaches us that yes, we can learn something of God in creation, but never enough for us to be saved. We must have a special revelation from God, something that comes straight from God. We must have God speaking to us. It's interesting as we go back to those two passages, Psalm 19 first of all, but although Psalm 19 begins speaking about nature and how God speaks through nature, how does Psalm 19 end? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Now, all those statements are different ways of referring to the word. The law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandment, the fear and the judgments. All ways in which the Old Testament refers to scripture. Scripture, says the psalmist, is better than nature in revealing God to us. And he actually makes that comparison in verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. What are the most precious things in all creation, says the psalmist? Well, gold and honey. Gold is wonderful for getting you what you want, and honey is the sweetest thing to taste in all the world. Well, the word of God is more valuable than the best things in creation. Because only by the word can we be saved. He goes on to say, cleanse me from secret faults. Clean me from my sins. And he knows that that's only going to come through the word. We find the same thing in Romans. When Paul speaks about the testimony of creation, what has he just said before that? He says, I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It's the gospel of God. It's the word of God that saves, not nature. Nobody without the special revelation of Scripture can be saved. Now, because that is true, we understand why the word of God is so important. So that's the first thing. We need special revelation because general revelation is not sufficient. That's sentences 2 and 3 of the paragraph. Then secondly, we need written revelation because the world seeks to distort the truth. We need written revelation because the world seeks to distort, to twist the truth. Now this is sentence number 4, beginning and furthermore. And furthermore, in order to ensure the preservation and propagation of the truth, and the establishment and the comfort of the church against the corrupt nature of man and the malice of Satan and the world, God caused this revelation of himself and his will to be written down in all its fullness. We need a written revelation because only a written revelation is safe from distortion, from being twisted, from being changed by men. Isn't that what it says here? In order to ensure the preservation of the truth, we need a written revelation. Without a written revelation, what will do? What will happen? Well, the corrupt nature of man and the malice of Satan and the world will distort the truth. In other words, if we don't have a written revelation that is full and final, then it is inevitable that we will lose the special revelation of God altogether. We'll lose it. Because Satan is active in the world, because we have corrupt hearts, because the world lies in the hands of the wicked one. If we don't have a preserved written word, then we'll lose the message that alone can save. Now let's see how this is demonstrated in the Bible. I'll take you to a few texts. The first is Isaiah 8 verse 20, where we are invited to test what everyone says by the written word. By the written word, Isaiah 8:20. To the law, says Isaiah, and to the testimony. If they, that is anyone, if anyone does not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, that's pretty final, isn't it? If anybody says anything that is not according to this written word, then they have no light at all. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them. They are taking you down the way of darkness. That's why we need a written revelation. The world is constantly seeking to distort the truth. False prophets are everywhere. Liars and deceivers are everywhere. That's why we need a written revelation. Test it against the word. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, 1 to 4. This is really quite interesting here. Luke, as we know, is a Gentile. And he wrote his gospel especially for a man called Theophilus. Imagine having some inspired scripture written just for you. Well, here it is. This is how Luke explains why he's writing and what he's writing. Luke chapter 1, 1 to 4. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first,
to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So here's a man called Theophilus. He's already heard God's special revelation, hasn't he? End of verse 4. Those things in which you were instructed. He's already heard the special revelation through the apostles and through the prophets of the New Testament age. But now Luke says to Theophilus, you've not got enough. It's not enough just to have a special revelation from God. You need a written revelation. You need something that sets everything in perfect order. You need something that goes from A to Z, dotting every I, crossing every T, covering every angle. And you need something that is sure and certain and perfectly reliable. And that's why I am writing my gospel, says Luke. So that you will always have that, Theophilus. Because he knows that times are going to come when Theophilus is confronted with other people coming and saying this and saying, I have a special revelation. I have something. The Mormons come. We have a new revelation. The JWs, we have this. The Christadelphians, we have that. The Muslims, and so on and so on. That's why we need a written revelation. A revelation that is final and that is finished and that is written down and that is sure, so that we know exactly where we stand. So the special revelation, which is essential to salvation, is preserved for us. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. Now, as we look at 2 Thessalonians, we're reminded why all the epistles of the New Testament were written. They were written to deal with errors. They were written to combat false teaching. Now, Paul explains this. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Yeah, I've got 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, I'm thinking that's not the right verse. Right, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, what is happening? The Thessalonians are getting shaken. People are coming saying this and that and the other. They are casting doubt on the second coming of Christ, claiming it's already happened, casting doubt on the resurrection, casting doubt on what... It's terrible. And the Thessalonians are getting shaken, and so Paul writes to them and says, don't listen to anybody else. They're claiming that it's come by spirit, by word, by letter, as if from us, but it hasn't come from us, says Paul. This is from us, this second letter that I'm writing to you, Thessalonians. He goes on verse 15 of chapter 2. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stick to what we've taught you. Stick to what I'm writing, says Paul. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. You've got to be sure, says Paul, that it's apostolic. You've got to be sure that it's from us. Because only then can you know that it is from God. And that's why we are writing it down. Finally, remember 2 Timothy 4 that we read together. Paul says, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. What is Timothy to do in the light of that? Is he to seek some new revelation? No, he is not. I charge you, therefore, verse 1, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Which word? The scriptures that we've just read about in chapter 3 that are able to make you wise to salvation. Preach that, Timothy. Preach the finished written word of God. So, we know that scripture is necessary.
We've seen the first reason. We need special revelation because general revelation is not sufficient. That's sentence 2 and 3. Second, we need written revelation because the world seeks to distort the truth. That's sentence 4. And finally, we need accessible revelation because God has finished speaking. We need accessible revelation because God has finished speaking. Look at the beginning of sentence 4, beginning and furthermore. And furthermore, in order to ensure the preservation and propagation of the truth, and then the end of that sentence, he caused this revelation of himself and his will to be written down in its fullness. In order to ensure the propagation means spreading out, telling forth. In order to ensure that the truth goes out to everyone, God has written it down. That's why we have it written down. And look at the final sentence, beginning and as the manner in which God formerly revealed his will has long ceased, the Holy Scripture becomes absolutely essential to men. We need an accessible revelation because God has finished speaking. God is no longer speaking any new words today. He has finished speaking. And so we need a revelation that's accessible to everyone. We need this revelation to go out into the hands of every human being so that every human being can access that word which alone can save them. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures for this. The first is Hebrews 1, words very familiar to us. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, that special revelation in the past, has, verse 2, in these last days spoken to us by his Son. That's finished revelation in the present. God has always been in the business of revealing himself. Special revelation through the prophets down the centuries is a wonderful thing. But now, in these last days, he's finished speaking. He's finished speaking because he sent his Son. How necessary then that we should have a finished revelation, written down, accessible for everyone. Go back a few pages to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Here Timothy is told we have a written revelation, which is the task of the church to preserve and to spread. Because only through this written revelation can people know how they ought to live in this world. We need a written revelation so that it's accessible. Paul says, doesn't he, I hope to come to you. But I'm writing because I might not be able to come. And Paul definitely can't come today, can he? Neither can any other of the apostles come to us today. There are no apostles today, despite the claims of some. And we'll come to that later in the confession. There are no modern day apostles or prophets. So if we want to hear God's word, how are we going to hear it? Only through this written revelation. Only through the scripture. Hence the emphasis throughout the New Testament on the written word. For example, just a couple of texts to close. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. Paul says, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. You can't mistake it, says Paul. I've written with my own hand. See, the letters are large. Very bold revelation. It certainly was to the Galatians, wasn't it? And the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, verse 8. The church of Smyrna write,
the church of Pergamos, write the church of Thyatira, write the church in Sardis, write the church in Philadelphia, write to the church of the Laodiceans, write. And in those letters to the seven churches, we have every shape, size and colour of church depicted, and we have God's written letter to each one.
So, we need a revelation of God that is special.
Special in that it is more than we can see in nature.
We need a revelation from God that is written.
That is to say, sure and certain
and finished. And we need a revelation from God that is accessible. Freely available to all people. Such a revelation is absolutely necessary to salvation. And the revelation is here. It is the Holy Scripture. In the light of this, we ought to know this Holy Scripture. We ought to obey this Holy Scripture. And we ought to spread this Holy Scripture with all our energy.
Amen.